The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat and blood and tears and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Thank you for joining us for this Tuesday broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
Yesterday, we began a series of sermons I'm calling Shoe Leather Theology. Why would I call it Shoe Leather Theology? Because shoe leather is the practical, everyday tool in life, isn't it? You put your shoes on, and you get out, and you do the work. Well, here in this series, through the Epistle of James in the New Testament, we are going to just put our shoes on, and we're going to get out there and hit the pavement, and we're going to wear those shoes out. And boy, James gives such practical and beautiful and wonderful advice in his letter. It is the where the water meets the wheel kind of advice. It is the practical, everyday, put it to work kind of doctrine that you and I need if we want to live a victorious Christian life. And
here, so
at the beginning of this new year, I came and we began to
exactly
open this book of
James.
Began to look at our responsibilities as believers, especially our responsibilities as it related to trials. And today, as we continue, we're going to talk about the perfect result of trials. That's right, because looking at the responsibility, yesterday we were told that you and I have a responsibility when trials come our way. James says our responsibility is this: consider it all joy. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, today I want to put some feet to that a little bit, because I don't want you at all to consider any kind of trial a joy. You see, a trial is not a joy. It's a trial, isn't it? It's a test. It's a pain. It's a difficulty. It's a challenge, and you don't like it. But you consider it all joy, not the trial. Don't consider the trial a joy. Consider the trial for what it is. It's a tool of Satan. Consider the trial for what it is. It's a result of the fall. It's a result of the curse that this world is under. It is something that we're groaning under. It's not a joy. But what is a joy? When we encounter various trials, and those trials begin a work within us. They begin a process within us. And so we're going to talk about that process today, and the beauty of that process, the end result of what takes place when we encounter various trials. And so as we come into this sermon today, we're talking about the perfect result of trials. You can get this entire sermon in one CD. It's $5. You can call and request it from our website. You can get it, or our toll-free number, 1-855-437-9448. The CD's $5, or you can get the series during this time that we're broadcasting this series of James. You can get it for absolutely any donation. There are 12 sermons in it that'll be an encouragement for you. We'll give you more information about that as the broadcast goes, but call us today or contact us through our website. We'd be happy to take care of these ministry needs. Now, friend, consider it all a joy when you encounter various trials. The trial's not the joy. The testing, the process is the joy. Let's dig into this a little deeper.
So the thing itself, the trial or the temptation, that's not something to glory in and to take joy in. But he says the testing. Now there's something there with the testing. It's a different word that's used for trial. So there is the thing, which is the trial. There is the testing, which is the process that that trial begins to put into place in your life. And he says that trial may be a mean thief that comes upon you at night. Don't consider that joyful. It may be a reef that shipwrecks you. Don't consider that a joy. But the process that begins can be something wonderful for you. We could give testimonies here many times over of this truth. So he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance is not what we're considering the joy as well. Now, I think sometimes people stop too soon. People come and say, well, I've got a trial that's come upon my life. I need to consider it all joy. And they begin to consider the joy a trial, or they try to talk themselves into doing it, and they struggle with that. Others who say, no, that trial has led to a time of testing, and so I am going to endure this time of testing. And then they endure, and they endure, and they endure. And soon you begin to endure. And soon everyone around them begins to endure. And soon everybody knows that they're enduring. And they take the endurance as some mark of faith. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Remember the second verse? Nobody cares. Now don't just endure and think that that's of any value. Because just like the trial is not something to rejoice over, but the trial leads into a testing. But the testing is not the end result either. The testing leads to endurance. But if you just begin to celebrate the fact that you endure, you're going to be a booger bear to be around. So it's not the endurance that we celebrate. He goes on in verse 4. He says, let the endurance have what? It's perfect result. There's an end that comes about here as the endurance has its perfect result. If we turn to the right just a page or so to James chapter 5, verse 11, he says, we count those blessed who endured. It's a blessing to endurance. They endured. And he gives an example in James 5:11. He says, you have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome. We don't celebrate Job because he endured, do we? Well, that was part of it. The trial came. He didn't rejoice in the trial. The endurance came. He even had struggles in the endurance. But it's when we come to the end that we begin to see the joy, when the perfect result begins to come about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, we see a word about this perfect result that comes about as we have this testing which leads to endurance. And here the scripture says, let me start in verse 16 actually. Therefore, do not lose heart. He's in a trial, time of testing. Do not lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And goes on to say, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Now, I don't know anyone who during the time of a trial or testing felt like what they had was momentary light affliction. You stub your toe and you think the world's about to end, don't you? I imagine some of you are like me. There were times you thought you were going to die of the common cold. I mean, it's heavy, it's weighty right then. But the responsibility is to say this trial that is ours is really a momentary and light affliction. And it is a testing. And I want to endure through the testing. Endure is not really a positive word. It's a hang on word. I want to hang on, be patient, endure through the testing, because the testing is going to bring about a perfect result, which Paul says that perfect result is an eternal weight of glory. That is, I believe he's saying that this endurance brought about by the testing, brought about by the trial, is going to bring us a reward that is glorious and wonderful and brings about its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Now, there's the responsibility.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge, just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD, or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
From the responsibility, he gives us a resource in verse 5. Notice he ends verse 4 saying, lacking in nothing, but in verse 5, if any of you lacks, if any of you aren't there yet, you haven't arrived, you're under a trial, and the thing that you lack is wisdom. The resource is right there. What is it we need when we're in a trial? We need wisdom, isn't it? And oftentimes we jump to some conclusions thinking we need something else. When we're under a trial, we think we need a new boss. Everything would be okay then. We need a new doctor. We need a new teacher, new tutor. We need a new neighborhood, a new house. That's what we need. That's what we're lacking. Now, what we really need is wisdom, isn't it? If you want to endure to the perfect result, you're going to have some wisdom when the trial or the temptation comes your way. And so the need here, the resource, is wisdom. And so what do? When we lack wisdom in verse 5, let him ask. Ask. Pretty simple, isn't it? I almost wish it was more complicated than that. Because so many times I haven't done that which is most simple. Father, give me wisdom. I got a temptation right here at my door. Give me wisdom. I've got a trial pressing upon me. It has come upon me like a band of robbers. Give me wisdom. Know how to handle this. Ask. Who do you ask? Of God. Not of your neighbor, not of your church, not of your husband or wife. You need to ask wisdom from God. Ask of God. And how's God going to respond? He tells us how he's going to respond. He says that God gives to all generously. Gives what to all? Wisdom. Sometimes we take this promise and we twist it just a little bit. And we say, boy, I'm under a trial, and what I need is this thorn to be removed, and so I'm going to ask of God, because the Bible says that he gives generously to everyone who asks of him. So God, come and remove this trial, remove this thorn in the flesh. Well, you remember what the answer to Paul was? No. I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to take it away. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? You could lose faith if you thought this scripture said that it promises to remove the trial. It doesn't. It says he'll give you wisdom. Wisdom on how to deal with the trial. And that's exactly what Paul had in his thorn on the flesh, where he began to learn, because of the thorn on the flesh, he began to learn, my grace is sufficient for thee. What a beautiful message to begin to learn that he wouldn't have learned otherwise. And the perfect result of the humility that that brought into Paul's life, gained wisdom. So God gives wisdom to all. Now,
I think we can even qualify this. He gives wisdom to all. Well, does that mean to every pagan he gives wisdom? No, I don't think so. Who's it mean? These believers in Jesus Christ who find themselves under a trial or temptation and desire to see that through with joy all the way until they have the perfect result of what God intended for that. To them, when you ask, God will give wisdom. Give the wisdom. So, continuing on here, it says, God gives to all generously. That's an interesting word there, generously. It's only used one time in this form in the Bible, and another form it's used a couple of different times, all speaking about the eye. And it's a tough word to translate. Here we've used the word generously, and there's probably a great deal of truth there, but the word is haplos. That'll mean something in just a moment. But haplos, the other two times it's used of the eye. And it talks about the eye being able to see clearly, haplos. And what it is in the eye is a lack of double vision, which is what you want. That's a positive. Nobody wants double vision, right? And to see haplos is to see it all together. Your eyes are working in stereo. They're working like they're supposed to be, haplos, clear. And it says, God gives to all haplos. Now, he gives with a singular focus. He gives wisdom to these people who are under trials, and he'll give it directly for that purpose when they ask of him, the purpose of enduring, so that endurance will have its perfect result. Haplos. There's a word we have in English. It's haplography. Haplography. How many of you have been guilty of haplography? Most of you. I think all of you. Here's what haplography is. You are copying down some text, and as you're writing, letters begin to run together. Has that ever happened to you? Letters begin to run together, and you inadvertently leave out a letter or two, or you add in a letter or two, because your eyes are just, they're going back and forth, and you're taking out or you're adding in. That's a haplographer's mistake. In fact, here's an example of haplography. Do any of you ever misspell? It's a simple haplographer's mistake because you'd leave out one of the S's. And you come with a singularity, and there ought to be a double there. And you put M-I-S-P-E-L-L, which is my spell. Misspell. It's easy to make that haplographer's mistake, isn't it? And so he comes and says, God gives, in this situation, he gives wisdom to all with haplos. That is, he gets it exactly like you need it. He gets it with perfection that he gives it to you. He doesn't remove something that should be there or double up to where it messes things up. He gives it with a singular, generous focus. Not only haplos, but he also gives this wisdom in this situation. He says, without reproach. Now, what is reproach? Reproach is, honestly, it's the word insult. He gives it without insult. I know that some of us, when we give something, every now and then we give with insult, especially those who are somewhat in our circle of influence and they need something from us. I have no doubt that at some point, one of your children, if you have children, they came to you. And if you don't have children, someday you will, and this will happen. They come to you and say, well, I just don't have enough money. And what's our response? Wait a minute. I gave you $10. This is your lunch money. What happened to it? Well, I got the cinnamon roll and the cookies, and now it's Friday, and I... And so, if we give them some more money, we do it with what? An insult. Here's the money, and had you spent it wisely, I wouldn't have to be doing this. Someone comes to you, and maybe they work for you, and they come and say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't get the assignment done, I just didn't have time. And if we give them more time, what is it with? An insult. Had you managed your time better, you'd have it. Now, Isn't it wonderful? Because all of us have been a part of that kind of reproaching, haven't we? We've been on the receiving end and probably on the giving end. Isn't it nice that when we come to God with this need of wisdom, He didn't say, "Well, my goodness, what a ding-dong you are." No, He gives without reproach, without an insult. He blesses us with it. I like Psalm 103 that we're reminded, David gives us the reminder, He remembers our frame. He knows we're just dust. He gives generously without insult, and it will be given to Him.
It will be given unto Him. Wow. Isn't that a great, powerful, wonderful, tremendous promise here as you listen to this broadcast today? And if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Here, over yesterday and today, as we've been learning from James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, we have seen that we do have a responsibility. The responsibility is to consider it a joy, to consider the joy when we encounter various trials. We don't consider the trials themselves a joy, but we sure do consider the end result a joy, because God comes together and He just does this fabulous process that begins to take place, the testing of our faith that comes only when a trial comes. It tests our faith. And that test produces endurance, and that endurance has its perfect results, so that you and I may be complete and perfect and lacking in nothing. Isn't that a fabulous promise? And then it gets even better when it says, now, let me give you some resources. How in the world are you going to consider it all a joy? And He gives this wonderful resource, and the resource is the wisdom of God. If any of you lacks wisdom. Now, the Bible doesn't say if any of you lacks a new car, if any of you lacks a bigger house, if any of you lacks a bigger bank account, all these things that God may or may not provide for you. But here is this blessed and wonderful and powerful and enduring promise. If any of you, I like that word any, don't you? That means red and yellow, black and white, whoever you are. You are at the top of the ladder or at the bottom rung of the ladder, or maybe you just walked under the ladder. Doesn't matter. If any of you lacks. You're without right now. You don't know what to do. A trial has come upon you, and you are saying, "Lord, help me. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to turn to. I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what I need to do, but I've got to do something. God, give me wisdom." We are instructed, when we need wisdom, to go and to ask. What we need is wisdom. What do we do when we need wisdom? Ask. That's what He says. Ask of God. We ask of God. I'm guilty, and I suppose that you are too, at times, of when I encounter a various trial and I need wisdom, I'll ask of my friends, I'll ask of my wife, I'll ask of my family, I'll ask of some counselors around me, I'll ask of some people who have been successful, and sometimes I forget to ask God. You know, I think God says, "My ways are not like your ways." If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you today. Until tomorrow, Thank you for joining us on Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. If you are in the Houston area, join Dr. White this Sunday at First Baptist Church of Katy, where these sermons originate.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. Got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat and blood and tears and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Thank you for joining us for this Tuesday broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
Yesterday, we began a series of sermons I'm calling Shoe Leather Theology. Why would I call it Shoe Leather Theology? Because shoe leather is the practical, everyday tool in life, isn't it? You put your shoes on, and you get out, and you do the work. Well, here in this series, through the Epistle of James in the New Testament, we are going to just put our shoes on, and we're going to get out there and hit the pavement, and we're going to wear those shoes out. And boy, James gives such practical and beautiful and wonderful advice in his letter. It is the where the water meets the wheel kind of advice. It is the practical, everyday, put it to work kind of doctrine that you and I need if we want to live a victorious Christian life. And here at the beginning of this new year, I know that that is exactly what your desire is. So yesterday, we came and we began to open this book of James, and we began to look at our responsibilities as believers, especially our responsibilities as it related to trials. And today, as we continue, we're going to talk about the perfect result of trials. That's right, because looking at the responsibility yesterday, we were told that you and I have a responsibility when trials come our way. James says our responsibility is this: consider it all joy. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, today I want to put some feet to that a little bit, because I don't want you at all to consider any kind of trial a joy. You see, a trial's not a joy. It's a trial, isn't it? It's a test. It's a pain. It's a difficulty. It's a challenge, and you don't like it. But you consider it all joy, not the trial. Don't consider the trial a joy. Consider the trial for what it is. It's a tool of Satan. Consider the trial for what it is. It's a result of the fall. It's a result of the curse that this world is under. It is something that we're groaning under. It's not a joy. But what is a joy? When we encounter various trials, and those trials begin a work within us. They begin a process within us. And so we're going to talk about that process today, and the beauty of that process, the end result of what takes place when we encounter various trials. And so as we come into this sermon today, We're talking about the perfect result of trials. You can get this entire sermon in one CD. It's $5. You can call and request it from our website. You can get it or our toll-free number, 1-855-437-9448. The CD's $5, or you can get the series during this time that we're broadcasting this series of James. You can get it for absolutely any donation. There are 12 sermons in it that'll be an encouragement for you. We'll give you more information about that as the broadcast goes, but call us today or contact us through our website. We'd be happy to take care of these ministry needs. Now, friend, consider it all a joy when you encounter various trials. The trial's not the joy. The testing, the process is the joy. Let's dig into this a little deeper.
So the thing itself, the trial or the temptation, that's not something to glory in and to take joy in. But he says the testing. Now there's something there with the testing. It's a different word that's used for trial. So there is the thing, which is the trial. There is the testing, which is the process that that trial begins to put into place in your life. And he says that trial may be a mean thief that comes upon you at night. Don't consider that joyful. It may be a reef that shipwrecks you. Don't consider that a joy. But the process that begins can be something wonderful for you. We could give testimonies here many times over of this truth. So he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance is not what we're considering the joy as well. Now, I think sometimes people stop too soon. People come and say, well, I've got a trial that's come upon my life. I need to consider it all joy. And they begin to consider the joy a trial, or they try to talk themselves into doing it. And they struggle with that. Others who say, no, that trial has led to a time of testing. And so I am going to endure this time of testing. And then they endure and they endure and they endure. And soon you begin to endure. And soon everyone around them begins to endure. And soon everybody knows that they're enduring. And they take the endurance as some mark of faith. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Remember the second verse? Nobody cares. Now don't just endure and think that that's of any value. Because just like the trial is not something to rejoice over, but the trial leads into a testing. But the testing is not the end result either. The testing leads to endurance. But if you just begin to celebrate the fact that you endure, you're going to be a booger bear to be around. So it's not the endurance that we celebrate. He goes on in verse 4. He says, let the endurance have what? It's perfect result. There's an end that comes about here as the endurance has its perfect result. If we turn to the right just a page or so to James chapter 5, verse 11, he says, we count those blessed who endured. It's a blessing to endurance. They endured. And he gives an example in James 5, 11. He says, you have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome. We don't celebrate Job because he endured, do we? Well, that was part of it. The trial came. He didn't rejoice in the trial. The endurance came. He even had struggles in the endurance. But it's when we come to the end that we begin to see the joy, when the perfect result begins to come about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, we see a word about this perfect result that comes about as we have this testing which leads to endurance. And here the scripture says, let me start in verse 16 actually. Therefore do not lose heart. He's in a trial, time of testing. Do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And goes on to say, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Now, I don't know anyone who during the time of a trial or testing felt like what they had was momentary light affliction. You stub your toe and you think the world's about to end, don't you? I imagine some of you are like me. There were times you thought you were going to die of the common cold. I mean, it's heavy, it's weighty right then. But the responsibility is to say this trial that is ours is really a momentary and light affliction. And it is a testing. And I want to endure through the testing. Endure is not really a positive word. It's a hang on word. I want to hang on, be patient, endure through the testing, because the testing is going to bring about a perfect result, which Paul says that perfect result is an eternal weight of glory. That is, I believe he's saying that this endurance brought about by the testing, brought about by the trial, is going to bring us a reward that is glorious and wonderful and brings about its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Now, there's the responsibility.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge, just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD, or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
From the responsibility, he gives us a resource in verse 5. Notice he ends verse 4 saying, lacking in nothing, but in verse 5, if any of you lacks, if any of you aren't there yet, you haven't arrived, you're under a trial, and the thing that you lack is wisdom. The resource is right there. What is it we need when we're in a trial? We need wisdom, isn't it? And oftentimes we jump to some conclusions thinking we need something else. When we're under a trial, we think we need a new boss. Everything will be okay then. We need a new doctor. We need a new teacher, new tutor. We need a new neighborhood, a new house. That's what we need. That's what we're lacking. Now, what we really need is wisdom, isn't it? If you want to endure to the perfect result, you're going to have some wisdom when the trial or the temptation comes your way. And so the need here, the resource, is wisdom. And so what do we do when we lack wisdom? In verse 5, let him ask. Ask. Pretty simple, isn't it? I almost wish it was more complicated than that. Because so many times I haven't done that which is most simple. Father, give me wisdom. I got a temptation right here at my door. Give me wisdom. I've got a trial pressing upon me. It has come upon me like a band of robbers. Give me wisdom. Know how to handle this. Ask. Who do you ask? Of God. Not of your neighbor, not of your church, not of your husband or wife. You need to ask wisdom from God. Ask of God. And how's God going to respond? He tells us how he's going to respond. He says that God gives to all generously. Gives what to all? Wisdom. Sometimes we take this promise and we twist it just a little bit. And we say, boy, I'm under a trial, and what I need is this thorn to be removed, and so I'm going to ask of God because the Bible says that he gives generously to everyone who asks of him. So God, come and remove this trial, remove this thorn in the flesh. Well, you remember what the answer to Paul was? No. I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to take it away. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? You could lose faith if you thought this scripture said that it promises to remove the trial. It doesn't. It says he'll give you wisdom. Wisdom on how to deal with the trial. And that's exactly what Paul had in his thorn on the flesh, where he began to learn, because of the thorn on the flesh, he began to learn, my grace is sufficient for thee. What a beautiful message to begin to learn that he wouldn't have learned otherwise. And the perfect result of the humility that that brought into Paul's life, gained wisdom. So God gives wisdom to all. Now, I think we can even qualify this. He gives wisdom to all. Well, does that mean to every pagan he gives wisdom? No, I don't think so. Who's it mean? These believers in Jesus Christ who find themselves under a trial or temptation and desire to see that through with joy all the way until they have the perfect result of what God intended for that. To them, when you ask, God will give wisdom. Give the wisdom. So, continuing on here, it says, God gives to all generously. It's an interesting word there, generously. It's only used one time in this form in the Bible, and another form it's used a couple of different times, all speaking about the eye. And it's a tough word to translate. Here we've used the word generously, and there's probably a great deal of truth there, but the word is haplos. That'll mean something in just a moment. But haplos, the other two times it's used of the eye. And it talks about the eye being able to see clearly, haplos. And what it is in the eye is a lack of double vision, which is what you want. That's a positive. Nobody wants double vision, right? And to see haplos is to see it all together. Your eyes are working in stereo. They're working like they're supposed to be. Haplos. Clear. And it says, God gives to all haplos. Now, he gives with a singular focus. He gives wisdom to these people who are under trials, and he'll give it directly for that purpose when they ask of him, the purpose of enduring, so that endurance will have its perfect result. Haplos. There's a word we have in English. It's haplography. Haplography. How many of you have been guilty of haplography? Most of you. I think all of you. Here's what haplography is. You are copying down some text, and as you're writing, letters begin to run together. Has that ever happened to you? Letters begin to run together, and you inadvertently leave out a letter or two, or you add in a letter or two, because your eyes are just, they're going back and forth, and you're taking out or you're adding in. That's a haplographer's mistake. In fact, here's an example of haplography. Do any of you ever misspell? It's a simple haplographer's mistake because you'd leave out one of the S's. And you come with a singularity, and there ought to be a double there. And you put M-I-S-P-E-L-L, which is my spell. Misspell. It's easy to make that haplographer's mistake, isn't it? And so he comes and says, God gives, in this situation, he gives wisdom to all with haplos. That is, he gets it exactly like you need it. He gets it with perfection that he gives it to you. He doesn't remove something that should be there or double up to where it messes things up. He gives it with a singular, generous focus. Not only haplos, but he also gives this wisdom in this situation. He says, without reproach. Now, what is reproach? Reproach is, honestly, it's the word insult. He gives it without insult. I know that some of us, when we give something, every now and then we give with insult, especially those who are somewhat in our circle of influence and they need something from us. I have no doubt that at some point, one of your children, if you have children, they came to you, and if you don't have children, someday you will, and this will happen. They come to you and say, well, I just don't have enough money. And what's our response? Wait a minute. I gave you $10. This is your lunch money. What happened to it? Well, I got the cinnamon roll and the cookies, and now it's Friday. And so if we give them some more money, we do it with what? An insult. Here's the money, and had you spent it wisely, I wouldn't have to be doing this. Someone comes to you and maybe they work for you, and they come and say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't get the assignment done. I just didn't have time. And if we give them more time, what is it with? An insult. Had you managed your time better, you'd have it. Now, isn't it wonderful? Because all of us have been a part of that kind of reproaching, haven't we? We've been on the receiving end and probably on the giving end. Isn't it nice that when we come to God with this need of wisdom, he didn't say, well, my goodness, what a ding-dong you are. No, he gives without reproach, without an insult. He blesses us with it. I like the Psalm 103 that we're reminded, David gives us the reminder, he remembers our frame, he knows we're just dust. He gives generously without insult, and it will be given to him.
It will be given unto him. Wow. Isn't that a great, powerful, wonderful, tremendous promise here as you listen to this broadcast today? And if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Here, over yesterday and today, as we've been learning from James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, we have seen that we do have a responsibility. The responsibility is to consider it a joy, to consider the joy when we come upon, when we encounter various trials. We don't consider the trials themselves a joy, but we sure do consider the end result a joy, because God comes together and he just does this fabulous process that begins to take place, the testing of our faith that comes only when a trial comes. It tests our faith. And that test produces endurance, and that endurance has its perfect results so that you and I may be complete and perfect and lacking in nothing. Isn't that a fabulous promise? And then it gets even better when it says, now, let me give you some resources. How in the world are you going to consider it all a joy? And he gives this wonderful resource, and the resource is the wisdom of God. If any of you lacks wisdom. Now, the Bible doesn't say if any of you lacks a new car, if any of you lacks a bigger house, if any of you lacks a bigger bank account, all these things that God may or may not provide for you. But here is this blessed and wonderful and powerful and enduring promise. If any of you, I like that word any, don't you? That means red and yellow, black and white, whoever you are, you are at the top of the ladder or at the bottom rung of the ladder, or maybe you just walked under the ladder. Doesn't matter. If any of you lacks, you're without right now. You don't know what to do. A trial has come upon you, and you are saying, Lord, help me. I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to turn to. I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what I need to do, but I've got to do something. God, give me wisdom. We are instructed when we need wisdom to go and to ask. What we need is wisdom. What do we do when we need wisdom? Ask. That's what he says. Ask of God. We ask of God. I'm guilty, and I suppose that you are too, at times of when I encounter a various trial and I need wisdom, I'll ask of my friends, I'll ask of my wife, I'll ask of my family, I'll ask of some counselors around me, I'll ask of some people who have been successful, and sometimes I forget to ask God. You know, I think God says, my ways are not like your ways. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology Series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you today. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. If you are in the Houston area, join Dr. White this Sunday at First Baptist Church of Katy, where these sermons originate.